In this episode, you'll discover the five oppressive married life pains husbands are silently suffering and need relief from that wives rarely understand. So welcome in, Heroic Husbands, to the Be the Husband She Brags About podcast. This is your one podcast for learning everything you need to know to become the marriage-transforming hero of your relationship. The three specific benefits you'll gain by listening to the end of this episode are: number one, you'll feel validated and less alone that your inner world emotional pains are pretty much universal amongst husbands around the planet. Number two, you'll be able to put words to the background lack of fulfillment you experience, and most importantly, and find a powerful solution for it. Number three, you'll understand you are never locked in, same shit, different day, permanently, and that you have the omnipresent power to change your situation for the better no matter what. Let's drop into heroic humility time. Heroic humility is the core part of the heroic husband's approach. It's having the courage to nestle in on the ground of truth of where you're truly at. Humility is this often bastardized word in modern society. To be humiliated, we associate it with social humiliation, but I really want to again build it into the culture and most importantly into your mindset that humility is at the epicenter of being a great leader. To have the humility, humus is the ground of truth of where you're truly at. Do you ever feel like it's been a long time since you let loose in marriage and felt unbridled joy, happiness and connection that was so intoxicating, like in early days pre-marriage relating with your queen? Do you struggle to find regular, personal, guilt-free time to be with yourself, doing whatever rejuvenates your heart and soul as you live your everyday, week-to-week married life? The third one, do you ever experience a deep frustration at your wife not understanding just how much you love her and how much you're trying to be a better man? As always, 10,000 guys in the room, there's a damn lot of hands going up for at least one of them. If not, the majority would have hands up for all three of them. This episode is to uncover what are oppressive married life pains that regular guys like yourself, myself, that we're having in the background of our married life, day-to-day existence. And why I'm doing this episode is, if you're like me, and if you're like the vast majority of guys that I've had the honor and privilege of working with thus far, and it's probably hundreds at this point, conversing, getting real. You know, when two guys get together and you just get real, when you know, you create a container where that guy just knows, I can say whatever with Mark. You know, I can actually get real with the gnarliest part of me, to the underbelly, to the, you know, to the heartbreak, etc., etc. The juice of the human existence comes forward. And what I've seen is this in myself and so many guys, is this capacity to switch off the heart brain and the gut brain. That's the feeling part of the body, and you know, relate to life from your cranial brain. Now, this is modern neuroscience. This cranial brain, heart brain, gut brain. There has classically been way too much emphasis placed on the cranial brain, which is the rational brain, but your greatest power in life as a man, as a human being, as a husband, as a dad, as a lover, as a leader, only comes self-mastery. You know, that infinite power, you can only tap into it when cranial brain, heart brain, gut brain, when the entire nervous system is communicating and acting in harmony together. It's like the whole entire orchestra is working in harmony. The major issue with this profoundly sick society is we, by absolute necessity as young boys, we learn to switch off the input, listening to the input, feeling into the fullness of the input that was coming from the heart brain, the gut brain, because, you know, you cry as a boy, you know, boys don't cry, come on, man up, don't be such a pussy, etc., etc. We have experienced such explicit long-term shaming of our emotionality that we learn to switch that shit off. So it's a very important thing to enter a conversation where, you know, where we speak as a collective, as a generation of men, and go, there are these pains at the background of our being. And I do encourage you to practice that heroic humility. I mean, I have, and we all have, I had for years to switch off. I'd listen to podcasts, I'd read books, and I had a, like, I call it my foolish philosopher. I'm bringing more and more into the teachings here. There's four levels of masculine maturity that your queen, she's really loves one part of that. It's the maturing man part of you. So that's from an archetypal language, just a king archetype in you. It's the awareness that takes nothing personal and can objectively create progress that's meaningful for you, for your queen, for your kids, without getting, you know, shitty about anything. It's just you're there for the progress. Then there's the beaten boy part, sadness oriented, powerless, helpless, likes ruminating, marinating in his own shit. And we all have these parts. I have my beaten boy part that I need to kick my own ass out of rumination, or my queen with feedback, you know, kicks my ass out of that ruminating part. Temperamental teenager, really angsty, angry, opinionated little son of a gun, and he will protect, like, life, his life depends on it, on his opinions. But he doesn't have much, he doesn't really give a shit whether his opinions actually work for marriage, actually work to create meaningful connection for his queen. He just protects his opinions. Then there's the foolish philosopher that will just get caught in his head. He's thinking, but it's an unfeeling thinking. And that's the real sneaky part. I'd encourage all of you to really lean in and open your entire nervous system to getting real with. The foolish philosopher is the unfeeling part of all of you that, you know, we have this switch where, because we learned our emotionality, our sensitivity when we were growing up, ultimately ended up in us experiencing severe social humiliation. Not heroic humiliation, the heroic humility, the grounded truth of where you're truly at. No, this was social humiliation. It was like the toxic aspect of humiliation that we're more culturally conditioned to associate humility with. We were annihilated socially, so we have formed these defense mechanisms inside of ourselves where, you know, when emotional pains, when the inner struggle is suggested from the outside, we press the switch. It's like, I'm not going to go there. I'd call that the foolish philosopher. That's like, I'll experience overwhelm if I get really real and honest with what's happening inside of myself. My encouragement is lean in. If you can feel a resistance in you, if you can feel a presence of thoughts that are already wanting to judge this content, wanting to switch away, wanting to knock off, I'd encourage you to lean in. It is inherently uncomfortable, the conversation here, what I bring, because it's putting the spotlight on you, on 100 trillion neurons in your nervous system. So lean in, my friends. It's an essential challenge that you need to take upon yourself on your self-mastery journey. You will not be able to ever fully hold a grounded space and evoke, you know, trust, connection, and attraction from your queen and within your marriage together as repeatable processes if you remain avoidant of what's happening inside of you emotionally. So let's drop in, you know, the five oppressive married life pains that husbands are silently suffering and need relief from, that wives rarely understand. They're quite unique to the masculine core being. Masculine core being predominantly is the male in the relationship, the husband. They're unique to our human existence. They're unique to us as men. They are masculine oriented, so the feminine core being, aka the vast majority of the time, our wives, they won't get it. And I want to invite you into a permission of, that's okay. And it's okay both sides. The maturing man has this capacity to unapologetically, without shame, own his human experience. And he reclaims his birthright to not have to justify or explain overly, to overly explain in a justifying way his human experience to his queen, to anybody around him. It's like he's grounded. It's like if he's feeling and having a certain experience, without shame, he can go there and he doesn't feel guilt or shame about that. It's like he's okay with that. That's a very safe thing for your queen to experience with you. The first of the five oppressive married life pains husbands are silently suffering with, for me and in my research and in my talking with hundreds of different men around the world, is loneliness. And in particular, it's disconnection from meaningful male camaraderie, male bonding, man to man, brotherhood. This can be a particularly provocative one for our queens, because the feminine in our queens, it's union oriented. The feminine impulse, the spiritual impulse, is to seek out union, togetherness, oneness. Where one heart melts into the other heart, and it's like this eternal bond is forged. I know in my own marriage and in my own coming to my power, this was quite a provocative one for me to own and to bring with my queen. Now, I will say, you know, I have learned that when I was triggering my queen's wounding on this, where she was like, to my mind at the time, when I was less skillful and less aware of my body was transmitting a message that was evoking her wounds to be triggered, it's like she was jealous or envious of any attempt of me to go off to be with men for the sake of being with men. Her woundedness sort of perceived this as, well, you're abandoning me. And the abandonment wound is like the core feminine wound. So I bring that in to say that, yeah, it can be a real thing. But I also want to state that the healing, the masculine healing leadership in this, is to realize you don't make it personal or take it personal. Your queen can have her response. And there's a 99% chance that if you are evoking her woundedness, and if she starts taking you're stating a need that you want to have more quality time with men that you know that can rejuvenate you, your capacity to lead, etc., etc. And if she's taking it personal, there's a 99% chance that as you're owning that need, there is an unowned guilt that you're experiencing that you're not aware of, or a shame, or an anxiety that she's just going to tell you no by default, like she has some power over you. And you're still in a sight, shape, state story. Just, this is the whole practice awareness, those of you that are listening in. Stillness, sight, shape, state, story. These are the aspects of that make up presence. You know, your stillness, your breathing goes a bit off. You have a subconscious intention that you're not aware of. Your eyes will not be grounded and loving and maintain eye contact with your queen. Your shape, your posture will be edgy. There'll be movement in it. She'll see an irritation in you. And your state, again, it's your state, your emotions. 99% of the time when guys own their needs with their queens, they've no idea, and they're not speaking an awareness that they have a shame, a guilt, an anxiety, a fear of rejection, etc., etc. And thus, if you're not aware that there's an emotion being triggered in you, that emotion is dominating how you're showing up behaviorally. It's making your eyes move in ways you're not aware of, your posture moving ways that you're not aware of, your breathing pattern is more agitated, and then, last but not least, story. The story that comes through in your mind, if you're not aware of any of those points, is going to be pretty screwed up, and it's going to start very often blaming your queen and shaming yourself. And the end of that experience is your queen you know, quote unquote, doesn't allow you or attacks you or starts guilting you, and you'll have this story that you're a victim of this woman that doesn't want you to have time with men, when the start, the beginning, middle and end of it was you just weren't owning that you have a lot of triggerability in your own nervous system. So I want to bring that from a practice perspective forward. This can be a real challenge for the vast majority of men that I've been coaching and holding space for. But it is your birthright to have time with other men. It's healthy, it's nourishing, and it's a beautiful thing. Now, I do want to point out that very often when I speak to guys, part of the judgment that our queens will have is as a result of not really owning how important this is for ourselves, and we very often leave it to socially suggested outings from guys in our neighborhood that, and the activities that they're doing, it just mightn't be that conducive to you feeling rejuvenated at the end of it. You know, it's like guys, oh, let's go out for a ton of beers. Well, if you're going out with a guy's a ton of beers, their state of consciousness mightn't be sort of so supportive, and the conversations aren't going to be that supportive, and you know, it's just not really conducive to you coming back. You know, if you're coming back the next day, you're groggy, you're hungover, etc., etc., you might have had a wild time and, you know, relive the old days with the bunch of mates from college, but you're groggy. Your presence is affected in a negative way because of that. You know, you go out on hen parties, or not hen parties, that's the feminine, the stag parties, that's what we call them, or bachelor parties, I believe, in States, and Canada is what you call them. You know, when you hang out with guys in ways that it might be a lot of fun, and there's no denying sometimes that can be fun, but if you come back regularly from outings with other guys and your queen just feels like, you know, if you go off with a bunch of guys and all they do is they collectively have a bitching party about their wives, about, you know, the pressures that their wives put on them, how their wives don't approve of them, etc., etc., your queen is going to pick up that that just isn't a healthy version of you that comes back. So I want to put that out. You know, the time, the meaningful male camaraderie, it's time where it's soulful time, it's connection time. You get to share with mature men who, they're going to hold space for you. They're going to make sure you feel seen, heard and safe, but they'll also challenge you on your bullshit. They're healthy men that, you know, your highest values, there's a resonance between you. That is what I'm talking about. Men's circles, etc., etc., you know, well-run men's circles, that's why the men's movement, any man that has taken part in a men's movement, like, knows and feels, it's like it's inarguable how healthy that feels and empowering that feels. So that's the type of male camaraderie I'm talking about. To eliminate this modern, this profoundly sick society of, like, bastardizing men, where we're these lonely islands, we're pods. That's why 90-95% of suicide rates are, it's men that it's happening. That's the loneliness. Number two, one of the great oppressive married life pains husbands are silently suffering and desperately need relief from is having a lack of space to process your emotions and learn from them. You know, I speak to the what are the feminine needs? To be seen, heard and safe. And in masculine practice, the most powerful approach I have found, and what I teach guys and coach guys through in the heroic husband's approach to it, is, you know, you, because that's their feminine, core feminine needs, you prioritize meeting those needs in your queen first. So you prioritize own curious truth, you make sure your nervous system is safe, that you're owning the daggers that are coming up, and you get yourself grounded. And, you know, the masculine pole in any relationship, be it man to man, man to woman, etc., etc., the masculine pole is held by the person who has the slowest, deepest breathing, that's stillness, has the steadiest, most loving direct eye gaze, sight, and is holding the stillest shape, posture. That's so the first three of stillness, sight, shape. When you have those grounded, you are the masculine pole in any situation, definitely with your queen. So the lack of space to process your emotions, you know, you meet the feminine needs first of seen, heard, and safe for your queen. But that doesn't mean that we don't have feminine inside of ourselves, because the feminine element of us is our emotionality. So we do have a deep need to feel seen and heard and safe in somebody holding space for our human experience. Now, the real difficulty in marriage is this. Marriage, the bond and trust in marriage tends to fall apart because when two people in the one moment are wanting to have their emotional state and the story that's, you know, the story that's driving that emotional state, they want that to be seen, heard, and safe and safely held space for at the one time. That means both people are pulsating feminine energy. And feminine and feminine, together, it's the poles. It's a repulsive thing. Both people are wanting to vibrate in this intense emotionality and the messiness of it at one time. It's like two magnets, like a north and a north together, that's repulsive. A north with a south together, that's attractive. So you have a human right to, and a real deep need to have a space to process your emotions and learn from them in a safe way. And when you repeatedly try to meet that need with your queen, you can do it, but this is why you own Curious Truth. You got to play the masculine role strategically and know exactly why you're doing that and how to do it, so that by the end of it, you've met all your queen's feminine needs. She can actually hold space for your truth. Not going to go into the fullness of this, but definitely in coaching and within the Heroic Husbands community training community platform, you learn how to do that and why it's so empowering. It's like it's black and white, the teachings of it. But you have a need. Every man has a need, and there's a deep pain when you have a lack of space to process your emotions and learn from them. Who you were entitled from a biological, psychological perspective for somebody to do that for you and teach you how a woman can do that is from your mother. And it wasn't, we didn't get our needs met at all growing up from our moms, from our dads. This profoundly sick society didn't empower them with a toolbox of deep intimate, you know, tools that can help people relate together. So you come into marriage without those needs met. Your nervous system doesn't know how to process emotions. So you're trying desperately to process emotions in a situation like, when do emotions come up most in marriage? In fights, in conflict, when you just have to, by necessity, you have to deal with them. So as men, we're a generation of men that have zero toolbox. We learn to shut off and alienate ourselves and become islands early childhood, like 4 or 5, like definitely by the time you get to your teenage years, it's like we're an island. You don't speak emotions. That's like, you just don't do it. So the place where we're being forced to experience the emotions and we're trying to learn about them is in a container of conflict. It's catastrophic. It's catastrophic for you and it's catastrophic for your queen, but your queen does not know how to, and you're not entitled for her to do that in a way. She doesn't know how to validate your experience as a man. She has not lived out the profound shaming of emotions that men go through, and there's a unique shaming that men go through in their connection with their emotions. So she does not, very often our queens don't have this full capacity to see the intensity of how much we're trying. You know, when you're arguing with your queen, you're making a really big effort. And how do you know that we're trying that much? Like, we're trying and you try and you try and you try. At some point, how many of you put your hands up like you're in a space energetically? You know, imagine putting your hands up. How many of you listening in have reached a point of overwhelm where you just, your nervous system shuts down? No thoughts will come in your head. And if any thoughts come, you're like, you just, your whole system shuts down. It's called stonewalling. You stop speaking because whether there's any thoughts in your head or tons of thoughts in your head, you just reach a point where it's too overwhelming. You don't know how to process what's actually happening anymore. You don't know how to make sense of what she's saying and what's coming through you, so you shut down. 90%, I believe it's up to 90% of stonewalling in marriage happens through the husband. So you're making this massive effort, and yet your massive effort, your queen can't see the effort. She just sees the negative responses. But I can see it, and when you're in a space of guys that know, we can validate you and go, man, in that moment, there's a massive pain. You're there with zero toolbox. You don't know. You're trying to build a house. You're trying to build a castle. She's wanting you to build a castle. You're doing your best, but you've a couple of, like, you've a rusty old hammer and a saw that's blunt, and you're trying to build this amazing thing. Your queen won't be able to validate you there. She won't be able to see you there, because why? You're trying to do intimate relating with a shitty old hammer and a rusty old saw, and she is experiencing the catastrophic emotional results of being a feminine partner with that. Men from the outside can see the efforts you're making. We can see the intensity. We can see your suffering. We can resonate with that because we've went through it. So a lack of space to process my emotions and learn from them, that's a massive, massive pain that guys are going through. So loneliness first, a lack of space to process my emotions and learn from them. The third oppressive married life pain husbands are silently suffering and need relief from is the smile doesn't reach my eyes syndrome. There's a ton of guys that are functionally depressed, and the vast majority of you, if I know anything about myself for years, is you'd hear this and go, functionally depressed, go fuck yourself, I'm fine, you know, because you function, like, you do things, and you might laugh with your kids, and you might laugh the other time with your queen, and you might, like, you're busy doing shit. But deep, deep, deep down, when you're in marriage and you're locked in a game that you don't know how to win, you'll find that, you know, early days when you were relating with your queen, clearly if she said yes to marrying you or moving in together, having kids with you, clearly at some point she was deeply attracted to you. And you will find that a human being, when they're in their most attractive state, when their mouth smiles, when the bottom half of their face is smiling, you'll see that their eyes are lit up, their eyes are smiling too. That a smile is a whole face. It's actually a whole body experience. You know, there's just an entirely different energy. A real smile. 95% of husbands out there have lost the whole face smile. And when they smile, it's a bottom face smile. Their mouth is smiling, but their eyes, the smile doesn't reach their eyes. And why is this? At our masculine core, you know, hunter-gatherers, we want dopamine kicks ultimately. From a neurophysiological perspective, we want dopamine kicks. And dopamine kicks are like, dopamine is the neurotransmitters, the neurochemical that drives us, that motivates us. It's like we get a dopamine kick when we are viewing on the horizon, like we're about to do something meaningful on our way from A to B, from A where we are now to B, the goal. Hunter-gatherer is like, you know, dopamine drives you on through the rain, through the muck, through the whatever, because you see that there's a deer that you need to hunt and kill to bring back that's going to nourish you and your tribe. I mean, dopamine is what drives us beyond exhaustion beyond all inner and outer limits and obstacles to make shit happen. It's a wonderfully potent and powerful experience as men. But we need to have a competency in going at the endeavor that we're going at. So like the hunter-gatherers, you would have been learning, you would have been brought out, you know, over your first decade and a half of life, and you would have, you know, messed around and played with hunting, played with fighting, you know, you would have been progressively challenged physically. So when you actually went out with the hunting tribe, you know, and you were like a fully fledged, okay, the responsibility is on your shoulders, you would have been trained for years. You would have had a high level of competence, and of clearly you'd still have some days when you didn't get the job done, but you had a training to be competent to pursue that goal. So dopamine had sense. You didn't have dopamine and non-stop failure. The smile doesn't reach the eyes, it doesn't reach his eyes syndrome in marriage for married men is the dopamine releases for us. But dopamine stops being released when you're constantly losing. Because you have this massive love for your queen, you have this massive desire deep down to actually connect with her, to have a happy marriage. You know, it's really to open up in this episode and go, you want to be happy. You know, that can be one of the biggest moments when I'm coaching guys, when I'm speaking directly to you. It's like, man, like, are you happy? And guys will give a provisional answer, and I'd slow down. Like, really, when was the last time like you were lit up with unbridled happiness that just like went beyond every single limitation of what you're experiencing? All the problems melted away. I mean, raw happiness and happiness within yourself, one thing, and that level of happiness where you just surrender and like let loose with your queen. It doesn't matter what the financial issues are. What there's always going to be fucking issues. Married life, there's always issues. There's always problems. There's always puzzles and tons of them yet to be solved. But when has been the last time when you just melted in each other's arms and you know, fucked each other into bliss and the conversation went on till the early hours of the morning? That level of happiness. Guys tear up. It's like it's been years. Very often they can't remember the last time that happened. And when the report, when it happened, it wasn't with their wife. You know, like this is a travesty. So what is essential to alleviate this pain that 9% of husbands out there are having in some way, shape or form, to bring the smile back to your eyes, is to get really clear about what the game is in life. Super quickly, I'm not going to do a whole sociological, historical commentary on it, but we have been conditioned that there's three things that we need to, three leadership characteristics we need to embody as men, and that gets the job done. A good husband embodies those. It's produce, provide, procreate. Produce, economically. If you're an entrepreneur, you've got to produce. If you're working with a company, corporate, wherever you are, you got to be a producer. Industrial Revolution, the modern economy, modern being the last 100-150 years, and it's evolving, but it's like that machine, you got to be a producer. So we have been conditioned to believe that when you produce, that's it, job done. Then you provide. You provide from what you produce, you know, the income that comes, you provide for your family. But there's also the psychological provision of solutions. Like, how many times have you fixed, do you have a massive impulse to fix the problem for your queen? And when she doesn't go with your rational minded black and white, baby, if you just do this, your problem is fixed, you feel a real hurt and a rejection, and it can be infuriating when she will not receive your fix. That's the producer, or provider. So producer, work, money, provider, I provide all the solutions. And then procreation, hey, biologically, you're needed for that. We get so caught when we're ticking those three boxes in meaningful ways, and our queen is negating us anyway. because we've been conditioned that tick those three boxes, that's what a good man does. Yet your queen wants and is yearning presence, progress and protection. Presence. I'm giving you, like, there's a ton of information, guys, a ton of inspiration in this for you to light up. Presence is unwavering focus with the person you're with and task you're on until full successful completion. Really simple, really practical. This is like the hard essence of the highest teachings in terms. I've taken the highest teachings that I found really complicated and most guys find really complicated. Masculine and feminine, energetic, relational, intimacy teachings. And like, how do you make that practical for a dude like myself? That's like, how do I communicate to myself in a way? Well, there's presence. Unwavering focus with the person you're with. Shut the fuck up and listen. Be fully there. Don't be get caught in your head. Be so fully there. Man, that has transformed my entire marriage, my parenting. It just gets better and better and better. And then unwavering focus with the task I'm on till full successful completion. It's an amazing power. So what I want to gift you here is, like, there's some element of you can win the game, but you've got to play with the playbook that's meaningful for modern marriage. You can't play with the playbook that was conditioned into us by this profoundly sick society, and it's based on the Industrial Revolution and when men went off to war. You know, that playbook is the rules of that playbook is play the game and produce, provide, procreate. Job done. That's just insufficient. So the new playbook is presence, embody progress, embody protection. Presence, as I've already stated. Progress is leading the conversations and the system set up to manifest your family's expanding vision. You got to have a vision. You got to have the courage and develop the skill set to lead the conversations that need to happen. It's a rare man that's doing that. The man that does it evokes massive, unfuckwittable trust from his queen. And you set the systems up. And then protection. There are three elements that when you embody these characteristics in marriage, you're going to win at the game of marriage. The men that do it, they start winning. Protection is stop or set boundaries with the inner and outer forces that impede upon you and your family's capacity to express your full authentic truth in life. Be happy ultimately. They are the rules. When you embody those and you set your game up internally to play the rules like that, you will start winning and you'll find that dopamine comes back online, oxytocin comes back online, and there's a great sense of autonomy that comes back with that. So the smile doesn't reach his eyes syndrome. Same shit, different day. How do I break out of this? I feel locked and imprisoned. No matter how much love I have, it doesn't seem meaningful to her, etc., etc. You got to have the right playbook. And when you have the right playbook, hey man, you're back online. There's no more of that same shit, different day, married life pain. You know how to play the game. You know how to play it. And hey, smiles, happiness, trust, attraction. They're repeatable processes. Number four. The fourth oppressive married life pain husbands are silently suffering and need relief from that wives rarely understand. It's box ticking for everybody with zero spiritual chill time. And spiritual chill time is different than meaningful male camaraderie time. Spiritual chill time, and you can take the word spiritual out if that just doesn't resonate with you, but chill time, it's alone time. Time in nature. Not time in nature where, oh, so you want to go for a walk in the woods, can you bring the kids and the two dogs? No, it's alone time in nature where if you want to walk through the forest, you walk. If you want to take a step, you know, a couple of steps to that place in the forest that has the lovely stream and you sit there and you don't have a major clock time where, oh, I'll be back in 10 minutes, albeit it can be meaningful, but you have a meaningful block of time where you can go into nature, you can be alone, you can experience the masculine nourishment of solitude. Time in nature and solitude where your spirit gets back up to speed with where your mind and body has been doing. It gives time for your soul to reconnect and your whole nervous system to come back to the natural rhythm of nowness. And when you come home there, oh, what nourishment. Oh, what peace. And when you come back there regularly, you know, we talk about in Heroic Husbands, it's a key embodiment, idea and concept that you need to really live to be of great deep value for your queen, for your kids, and to feel powerful within yourself, is be the mountain in the storm. The storm is life, it's movement, it's unpredictable, unboxable, untamable, the essence of our queens, the essence of life itself and the universe. But the other element, the yin-yang, the other part of the universe is masculine. Stillness. Consciousness. It's the only thing that is left beyond all the movement. In the impermanent unfolding of the universe, there is the stillness, which is life force, it's energy, it's consciousness. And as men, we don't speak about this. This could sound like tripe to some of you, going, what the fuck is he talking about? But it's like, when you experience that, you have experienced that as a kid, as a boy, where you sat looking at a flower, or you sat looking at a plane go by, or you sat, there's moments of stillness when you just were, you were looking at creatures in the grass, you were profoundly still. You know, boy, you know, have you ever lay down in the grass as a young kid and you're just looking at the clouds going by? You're completely still, but you're at one with what is. No matter how traumatic and crazy, you know, childhood can be, for some of us can be really traumatizing, explicitly so, most guys will remember moments when they're at one in nature, where there was this level of peace that they didn't experience any other place in their childhood, and they struggle to experience that type of experience as an adult. I've had that multiple times, where guys come in and there's deep, deep trauma. Their marriage is like really in extreme circumstances. But once they, every single time, they'll go, yeah, Mark, there's that time, you know, that time in the apple tree, or that time, you know, at my grandmother's house, there was that place down the garden. There was that place for me, guys, there was this ash tree down the garden. The ash tree would go and I go down and there was a big stone and I used to sit in the stone and just look at our house, look at the garden, look at birds. Was I figuring out my thoughts? I was holding space for my thoughts. Ultimately, what I now know is I was meditating. And meditating is not meditating, it's not doing anything at all. It's just non-judgmentally being with your awareness of what is. I found that so nourishing, and I lost connection with that as a practice in marriage, in married life. And it's only when I've re-establish my awareness that that is so important for me, that I now make specific time to experience that, that I can now, by and large, 99% of the time, be the mountain in the storm for any storm that's happening in my family life. So box ticking for everybody with zero spiritual chill time. That's a major spiritual pain for the vast majority of men out there. I encourage you to really soften into that and go back to your childhood and recognize, you know, what were times when you were completely at one with yourself, when it was just you? Very often it's in nature. Realigning yourself, finding that time, no matter how crazy it is, time in nature. Time in nature, when you're still and you can just be and rest. For years gone by, men had that. You know, agriculture, you're out, you're working, and you know, you'd see it. Farmers, if I live in rural Ireland, you'd see these old farmers. They're not the busy young guys that are always in racing around tractors. You know, the younger farmers go at it more like the Industrial Revolution sort of thing. It's productivity, go, go, go. You see the older guys, you know, they'll walk the fields and they'll actually sit there and tend a young animal, and you'll see them at the gates. They'll just lean over the gate and they'll look and watch, and they could be there for 10, 15 minutes, 20 minutes. What are they doing? Are they doing anything practical with the farm, with the A to B, with the system of agriculture? No. They mightn't use the word spiritual, but it's deeply spiritual. they're having this sacred moment where their ancestors knew men did this. Time in nature. Sometimes we have activities that brings us to this. Fishing can be this ultimate one. You know, I don't fish myself, but you know, you cast it out, and in some senses you mightn't for the majority of the time give a fuck if a fish bites or not. What's really soothing about that is nature, solitude, time, and the feeling that it brings. Number five. I commend you for listening in thus far, and this is number five, bringing it home. The angerless man is a man without access to his core. A great oppressive married life pain that the majority of men don't understand, don't even get that they have this as an issue, is because they don't feel they can allow anger come through them. And any time they bring anger through them, it ends up in disconnect. They don't know how to access their core, because anger is the boundary setting emotion of our body, of our nervous system. And boundaries in healthy relationships, boundaries are being set all the time. You can't get to know somebody truly if that person cannot set a healthy, grounded, safe boundary that goes, I'm a no to that experience. And underneath the boundary, there's always a recognition of, well, what are you a yes for? We have en masse been conditioned as young boys in this profoundly sick society that anger is wrong. You read 99.9% of spiritual, religious, you know, books from multiple traditions. They explicitly say anger is wrong. Anger is wrong. Anger is evil. Anger is unconsciousness. Anger is destructive. Blah, 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 blah. I am here to say aggression is destructive always. Aggression that, and aggression for me is anger unexpressed. Anger is this beautiful thing that I know with my queen, with my kids, it's like I'll feel it in my body and I'll go, hey baby, a part of me is experiencing anger, and right now I'm a no to what you're saying. I'm not in agreement with what you're saying or what you're doing. I'm a no. Some part of me is a no to that, and I express it. First wave of anger, it's really safe, supremely safe. And then I'm like, baby, just give me a moment. I'm trying to figure out what I'm for. And then I'll figure a deeper level of a desire that's want to come through me in my self-expression. And baby, you know, why I'm a no to that is I'm a yes to, you know, us using respectful language when we speak to each other. Us actually owning our shit before we discipline the girls. I'm a bigger yes to us leading by example and owning our shit before we do the authoritarian parent bullshit. It's like, I'm a yes, so I'm a no to you speaking to the girls like that. I'm a no to that conversation going forward. I'm a yes to you and me having a conversation and figuring out what we're not owning. You know, the girls are being quote-unquote bold. Well, what are we not owning? You know, there's a lot of tension between us the last two, you know, this morning we didn't fully... You know, we didn't fully, we came back to repair, but the girls heard the first half of that and then they went outside. We didn't touch base with them that we're back in repair now. So, hey, they're feeling tension. My anger, spoken in a moment, is safe. And it always allows and sets the platform for me to then figure out what I'm for. And anger to me figuring out what I'm for can take 30 seconds. And you'd be there going, well, there was no argument. It's so safe. It's so simple. What happens normally is anger comes up. We were conditioned en masse by our mothers, by early school teachers that are predominantly female, and without any masculine, powerful, grounded expression of anger in the safe way that I'm talking, we were conditioned that anger is wrong. Don't get angry with me, Mara Kusher. Don't get every guy that I speak with has been shamed in his attempted early days desire to express anger through him. He's been shamed. He's been told he's bold. So we learn that when awareness goes to the anger part of our mind, that we're being wrong and we feel guilt and shame and anxiety doing it. So we don't express anger when it comes up first. Anger unexpressed becomes frustration. Your queen says it, does it again and again, and we get the anger re-triggered, but we don't speak it. We put it into the filing cabinet of frustration, but what happens to the filing cabinet of frustration? It gets more and more full, at some point it explodes out. And that's aggression. That's when we name call. That's when we're like, you've made me feel this bad because you should know better. And this is the 20th time that you've done that. And now I'm just going to unleash on you. That is aggression. That is not fucking anger. I believe it's so empowering to have a black and white distinction between anger and aggression. Anger is the emotion of boundary setting. Aggression is the repercussion, it's the consequences of not expressing the anger in the first place. Aggression, and aggression en masse has become known as anger, but it's not. Aggression is when it's personal and you're actually attacking the person. You're taking them down. Now, what ends up happening is the massive pain that this has for men is, have you experienced times when you're trying to express something that is important to your queen, but the only reason she's shutting you down is, it's like your anger, but it's, again, 99.999% of the time, it's not anger in that moment, because you didn't own it the first time, the second time, the third time, and it became aggression. She's shutting your attempts to express your truth down, and it's infuriating. 1,000 guys in the room, 1,000 guys are going to put their hands up going, Mark, I know exactly what you're... That time, very often guys will go, Mark, just the other day. The just the other day comment. Just the other day, man, I was just trying to make a point about our finances. I was just trying to make a point about parenting. I was just trying to make a simple point about getting the fucking tires in the car. Like, it's so utterly mundane things, but they're so important. But your queen shuts down your expression, your attempt to express what's really life for you because deep down you have disconnected with your birthright to own and express anger whenever it comes up. And because you became so unskillful and your nervous system was told explicitly, anger's wrong no matter what, you just suppress it until it spills out as aggression. And that is always going to be like just disconnect. It will just always create more conflict and more disconnection. The major problem with this is when you have very little ability to skillfully express anger in a way that is like shame-free. Baby, I have anger. I'm not okay with what you just said. Let's have a conversation. 99% of my expression of anger is like that now. It's so simple. Can be quite intense. Can be intense, but it's safe. And my queen will meet me there. Because she's safe. We'll be on the bridge. I'll express the anger. And 2 minutes later, man, sometimes it takes 20 minutes to really figure it out. But it's safe. What this allows is a transmission and a rediscovery of who you truly are, and your queen can discover who you truly are. When you have that conditioning of anger is immoral, it's wrong, it's a sin, it's bad, you're never able to safely express who you truly are, what your true wishes are, what your true values are, in a way that you can feel seen and heard and safe by your queen. And that drives men insane. So until you learn the skill set, until you are in a space where guys go, man, that's okay, that's anger. You've got to express that to your queen, and you can have the support of men and the coaching to help you do that safely and powerfully to the point at which your queen goes, oh, he's safe. Every single time he expresses anger, I'm safe. Our kids are safe. So these are 5 oppressive married life pains husbands are silently suffering with and need relief from. And my main thing here is to go, until you own that, yes, one of these silent pains, or in a lot of cases, the vast majority of them, are something that is very real in your day-to-day, week-to-week, month-to-month, fucking year-to-year experience as a husband, until you can own and go unapologetically without shame, and you can go, yeah, there is a part of me that is experiencing that loneliness. There is a part of me that really is lacking the space to process my emotions and learn from them in a safe way, because my queen can't and won't do that for me. When you can, only when you can say and go, yeah, there is a part of me that my smile doesn't reach my eyes like it used to do years ago, all the time. Man, that radical wild aliveness, where did that go? Why do I only experience that when I get hammered drunk and when I go crazy with guys in ways that is not so rejuvenating? Why do I only experience that the odd time, and it's mainly through sporting endeavours and like endeavours in business where I can win the game? But I don't experience that in parenting, in marriage, in our sex life. Man, but you want to. And number four, the box ticking without any spiritual chill time. Man, I'm doing, and she just doesn't appreciate it. And then I feel guilted when I take time to myself without having to justify myself. And the fifth one is anger. Man, a man without anger has no access to his authentic core. Until you can own that, yes, you are having an experience of these, and yes, that is a, that's like a lead jacket to carry even just one of those around. But the majority of men I've been speaking with, four or five of them, the whole list, they're like, yeah, might resonate. One is more heavy than the other, more intense. And some guys go, yeah, mark every single five, all of them. And it's, so it's a really powerful thing to recognize that, to get real and go, yeah. And my main thing here is, you know, there's good news in this. You can only move forward and create meaningful progress in any endeavor in life when you get real with where you're truly at. That is why 99.9% of men never make meaningful progress in marriage, because they don't access the courage to just look in the mirror or listen to this podcast and go, yeah, I'm ticking a lot of those boxes. That's fucking real. That's ground zero. Google Maps is this super potent tool to get you from where you are now to where you want to go on pretty much any part of the planet. But it's obsolete as a powerful tool if you can't define where you're starting from. This is key, guys. Your path to entering the infinite game of marriage and the infinite game of self-mastery, where happy, healthy, horny is like a repeatable daily experience where you make more and more progress towards that, you can't access that until you get honest with where you're at. Now, for those of you that have had the spiritual balls to actually allow these points permeate your being and have actually allowed yourself to go, yeah, and nod your head energetically, maybe even physically, as you've been listening in, for those heart warriors who have had that level of courage and you're saying yes and you can recognize this, there's good news. There's good news, because all of these married life pains husbands are silently surfing with and need relief from, the relief is accessible in Heroic Husbands training and community platform. Where you go with loneliness, well, you will have definite, meaningful male camaraderie with men who have value systems where they want to win at the game of marriage and they want a safe space where they can get real. Part two, lack of space to process my emotions and learn from them. You're going to have that with the camaraderie and brotherhood there, with coaching, with feedback, and with guys that have experiential know-how to support you on that journey. And you will never, ever once be shamed. That is key. That needs to be a safe space. Number three, the smile doesn't reach his eyes. Well, you're going to learn the rules of marriage. You're going to learn how it works. You're going to learn how to embody presence, progress, and protection in meaningful ways. And thus, your body will be transmitting a message that will evoke connection, trust, and attraction responses within your queen. You'll get better over time. So dopamine will come back online and will power you forward through any obstacle, inner and outer. Number four, box ticking. Hey, zero spiritual chill time. We teach meditations. There's meditation times. We will be setting challenges for nature, time in nature. It's some of the most meaningful posts are guys saying, this is me by the river. This is me by the beach. This is me doing me. It's wonderful. And number five, anger. We bring anger back online. We let you know it's okay, and we will support you being able to up-level your skill set in how to express your anger and find the desire of your what you're wanting to speak in a way where your queen can and will listen to what's true for you, and you will create more and more connection from there. My challenge to you, Kingly Warriors, is Kingly Brothers, is the new intake is happening September 15th. That is like 9 days after this episode being published today. If you're listening to this episode as the most recent episode or one of the last two or three episodes in the podcast, you will be there on time for that window. It's the doors are opening on the 15th of September and will remain open for, I think, about a week and a half, 2 weeks after that, to give you the maximum opportunity to come in and have 2025 as the year when you transformed yourself, you transform your marriage, and you set yourself up and the foundation underneath yourself, your queen, your kids and family, the fortress of your beautiful family. You set all of your members up to play the infinite game of married life, individually and collectively. Happily ever after is yours and yours now. But if you remain lone wolfing, man, you're denying yourself the power to have all of these pains, you know, relieved and taken off your shoulders. Forevermore. So there's the challenge to you. There's the brand new website. Throw your eyes on it now. In the podcast episode description, you're going to find the link to join the waiting list for that new intake that's happening. There's going to be the link to the one-on-one coaching if you want to get the most rapid, radical path to rapid transformation of your marriage. And yeah, guys, it takes 10 seconds to apply. 10, 20 seconds. Name, email address, you're in. And yeah, happy, healthy, horny. Happy ever after is the only story that comes with that. This episode has been, as always, in perfect alignment with the mantra of this movement. Better husbands today, better world tomorrow. Go have an amazingly beautiful Kingly Day.